Well, let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the New Testament book of Acts. And while you're turning to the New Testament book of Acts, let me ask you a simple question. Do you ever stop and think about Jesus Christ coming again? You know, if there's something that ought to be on the heart and the minds of born-again believers, it ought to be the Lord's return. I don't know about you, I'm looking forward to it. Amen? Well, you know, the Bible tells us a great deal about it, and in this one span of time, I don't have time to go into all of it, but you know, the Bible makes it very clear that the church is going to vanish from the earth. You know, the Bible says that in the book of Thessalonians, and Jesus says that in John 14. But in the book of Acts, if you remember, it was just shortly after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 40 days afterwards, and Jesus was with the disciples, and he was teaching them. He was talking to them. And I want you to follow along with me in your copy of the Scripture as we read verses 1 through 11. And this morning I want us to think on the ultimate promise of Jesus Christ's return. Listen to what Luke has to say to the saints of God back in that early century. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, you have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put into his own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now I want you to watch what's happening in verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Now, whenever you look at this passage of Scripture, there's so many wonderful things that I'd love to point out, but because of time, can't get to all of them. But the very first and the most important thing you and I need to understand is this simple imperative and this simple reality that is going to take place. Someday in the calendar of Holy God, the Bible says Jesus Christ is going to return to this earth again. Now, let me just back up and say a few things. Because when Jesus Christ came to earth the first time, the Bible prophesies of him coming over and over again. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you realize it, but this book is not only a book of promises, this is a book of prophecy. In other words, telling you and me what is going to happen in the future. You know, just as the Bible announced the first coming of Jesus Christ, it has announced for 2,000 years Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth. And I don't know about you and me, but for myself, I'm anxious, I'm looking forward to it. But if you remember, Jesus had been raised from the dead. Jesus had been raised, and we celebrated Easter just a few weeks ago. We celebrated the very fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, but he didn't just leave after he was resurrected. If you look at this passage of Scripture, here's what Luke says happened. For 40 days, and by many infallible proofs, Jesus revealed himself to many individuals, to many people. Why? Because they were human beings, just like you and I are. They were human beings, they were suspect, and they had a hard time believing in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, in truth, when Jesus Christ came the first time, nobody was really expecting him, though the prophets had prophesied for hundreds and thousands of years. But at the same time, even now, many people aren't really expecting Jesus to come back. But I want you to listen very carefully this morning, because I want to share with you some very important truths you and I need to understand about the ultimate promise of Jesus' return. If I ask you what was the greatest promise in all of the Bible, probably most all of us would say, well, you know, the promise of Jesus Christ coming to give us eternal life. And there's no promise any greater than that, because, you know, Jesus said, whoever will call upon me, I will sup with you and you with me. In other words, there'll be the gift of eternal life. But the Bible says in Acts chapter 1 and verses 9 through 11, I want to be the focal point, because the Bible says that as Jesus was being taken up, literally being lifted up, no wires, no strings attached, nothing attached, the disciples had listened to Jesus. They had listened to him teach. They had listened to him talk about the kingdom. And right up until the very time, they was listening to him, they was watching him, they beheld him. As a matter of fact, on one occasion, Thomas said, Lord, I won't believe in you unless I touch you. And he allowed that to happen. But the Bible says that he was taken up literally right in front of their eyes. Now, I want to share with you three ultimate realities out of the passage of Scripture we're looking at this morning. Because can you imagine with your spiritual imagination, you sitting in front of Jesus that day? Can you imagine what the disciples must have felt, must have experienced, as they were listening to Jesus? And you know, wherever Jesus was, things happen. Wherever Jesus is, exciting things happen. They watched, they beheld the body. But all of a sudden, something began to happen in the midst of their teaching, of Jesus teaching them. The Bible says that he started ascending. And the word literally means very slowly. In other words, Jesus didn't do it fastly. And they started just looking intently at Jesus. Well, can't you imagine? Imagine if I started ascending off this stage. You'd think, now, wait a minute, something's up. And it had to be something, because I can't float. Well, they knew they couldn't see any wires and there was nothing there, and they knew something was happening. Well, all of a sudden, beside the angels, beside Jesus were the angels, and here's what they said. Why do you stand here gazing? Say these three words with me. This same Jesus. In other words, Jesus gives the announcement here in this passage of Scripture. It says, I want you to lock in on a reality that if you don't understand yet, I want you to understand and know right now. Number one, I have gone away, but I am coming back. So I want you to follow along in your copy of the Scripture and the outline. And you know, Jesus had given the disciples the command to teach and preach and go into all the nations. Now, let me just say this. Why teach and preach and go into all the nations? Because the Bible says in the book of Genesis that God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living what? Soul. In other words, you are a soul. You're going to live for all of eternity someplace. That is never going to change. Every human being is a living soul, and based on what he does with Jesus Christ, what she does with Jesus Christ, they are going to live either with the Lord or they're going to live with the devil. There's no other alternative. But I want you to follow along in your outline, because, you know, if you recall on one occasion in the Gospel of John, Jesus said, a little while and you shall not see me, and again a little while you shall see me, because I go to the Father. In other words, Jesus said, you're going to see me, then you're not going to see me, and then again you are going to see me again. So I want you to follow along in your outline. I want you to listen very carefully because I'm getting ready to tell you what's getting ready to happen on planet Earth not too long from now, according to the calendar of God. First of all, the Bible makes it very clear Jesus' return to earth is the promise from his own mouth. Now, sometimes somebody will say, now, preacher, do you really believe that? Isn't that just something that's in the mind of people and that's just something that's not really going to happen? Friend, it is the fact of the living, eternal Word of God. Jesus, by his own mouth, in the Gospel of John said, I am going to come back again. I'm going to come back. As a matter of fact, he said, a little while you'll see me, a little while you won't see me, and then a little while you will see me again. In other words, I'm here right now, I'm going to go back, and then I'm going to come back again. You know, 2,000 years have come and gone since Jesus Christ ascended. But did you know even before Jesus Christ came the first time, the Bible even records in the book of Job and in the book of Zechariah the reality of Jesus Christ's return? I want you to listen to Job for a moment. Job is speaking in Job chapter 19, verse 25. Listen carefully. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. In other words, by the guidance of the Spirit of God, Job had an understanding of what a lot of people even miss out on. Job said, I know that my Redeemer is going to stand upon the earth. Jesus, by his own mouth, gave to the disciples and told them, he said, I want you to get in your heart and get in your spirit that I am coming back. As a matter of fact, Zechariah the prophet put it this way, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and on the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley. In other words, the book of Zechariah makes it clear, along with the book of Acts and along with Job, that Jesus Christ is going to come back exactly as he left. Jesus' own mouth has uttered it. Now listen carefully. Jesus said, I will never say anything unless it's the truth. If you don't and are not anticipating the actual literal return of Jesus Christ, you need to change your thinking and you need to expect it. Why? Because Jesus Christ is coming back. And you say, now, I know he's coming back for the church. Well, just listen very carefully because you need to understand what's going to happen. Because, in other words, the Bible prophesies over and over and over again that Jesus Christ is coming. Well, you say, is he coming to this literal earth? Yes. The Bible says over and over. Job said he is coming to the earth. Zechariah said he is coming and he's going to set his feet on the Mount of Olives. When he does, there's going to be a tremendous earthquake that's going to take place. Why? Because of him being the very Son of God. The world moves at the very Son of God. So you need to understand something that is getting ready to happen and going to take place. Now, will we be here when Jesus Christ comes? Well, there's a lot of different thoughts and feelings. The Bible says the church is going to be raptured. We're going to go home to be with him, and then he's going to come back with us. But Jesus makes it very clear from his own mouth, I am coming to this earth again. He's going to come down exactly the way he went up. And second of all, the Bible makes it very clear. Jesus returned to earth. It's the promise not only from his mouth, but it's the promise from the angels. You know, when you look at the disciples of Jesus in verse 10, the Bible says they were gazing. And the word gazing is an interesting word. It means they were looking steadfastly. They were looking, their eyes were locked in. In other words, it's like my eyes are locked in on Byron. I'm looking at everything. I'm looking at every gesture and movement. Their eyes were locked in on Jesus. Well, wasn't yours? Mine would be. Here they are with Jesus, and they know, now, I've never seen this before. And the Bible says that they looked intently. Their eyes were fixed. Their eyes were focused. Their eyes were steadfast. And you know, as they watched Jesus slowly rise from the earth, they were straining. And before the angels said anything, I'm sure in their heart, they couldn't help but let their heart drop a little bit. Because we've seen the resurrection. We've seen him in a new body. We have seen that he is what he says he is. He is resurrection. Listen, And we have His resurrection life inside of us. If you're a child of God, you have His resurrection life. That's why you can't die. Now you say, well, you know, I know a lot of Christians that's died. No, you know, the body has stopped functioning. The body has stopped breathing. The body has stopped having a heartbeat. But they are with the Lord. And so, you know, the Bible makes it very clear. The disciples, they'd been with Jesus for 3 years, and they'd walked with Jesus, talked with Jesus. And as they look toward the sky, just listen to the simple words of the angels. You know, one of the wonders of Jesus is He's very simple. When we're concerned and when we're scared and when we're anxious, listen to the simplicity of it. Why do you stand gazing into heaven? Why are you focused on watching Jesus go up? Because then the angels say, this same Jesus. This same Jesus that you've seen go up into heaven shall so come in like manner. In other words, what the disciples were listening to from the angels is that Jesus Christ is coming back to planet Earth. I don't know what your belief is. I don't know what your theology is. But here's what the Bible says. Jesus Christ is coming back to planet Earth, and He is going to sit His feet on the Mount of Olives. That's the Word of God. And the Bible says that all those who have pierced Him, they will see Him. That's what Scripture says, that's what Luke says, that's what John says, that's what all throughout Scripture says. And so the Bible makes it clear that Jesus is coming again. But then sometimes you say, well, now, wait a minute, what type of Jesus is coming back? You know, that's one of the questions that I guess sometimes that I'm asked. And now, Pastor, tell me a little bit about that coming. What's it going to be like? What exactly is going to take place? What's going to be all the things that take place? Well, you can spend a month studying that, but I just want you to get a picture, and I want you to get an understanding. Because here are the angels, they're promising, and they're also prophesying this same Jesus. Well, it's going to be in like manner, and so that's why I want us to listen carefully. This same Jesus. First of all, the Bible says it's this same Jesus that's coming back, not another Jesus. Not another Jesus that's coming back, this same Jesus. Well, what type of Jesus was this Jesus? You know, the Bible records that Jesus ascended back into heaven with a literal, glorified, resurrected body. Now, I want you to listen, and I want you to lock in on this one. Before Jesus Christ came to earth the first time, He had no body form. He was with the Father in heaven. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Jesus did not have a physical, literal, tangible, touchable body before He came to earth the first time. But for now and for all of eternity, Jesus Christ is going to have and does have and will forever have a literal glorified body. That's the Word of God. Listen to what the angels say. Listen carefully, and I want you to follow along. Because the Bible records that it was a body, it was Jesus in a glorified body that ascended into heaven. In other words, they weren't looking at a spirit. They weren't looking at a phantom. They weren't looking at some being. The Bible says they were looking at a person. They were looking at a person who had a body. As a matter of fact, you know, you remember in John 20, 27, Thomas was doubting Jesus, and Thomas was, you know, he was a doubter. He couldn't think logically. How can a person get up from the dead and have a body? And that's probably where some people think, but, you know, Jesus said this. He said, Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. Do you get the picture? You can't touch something that's not there. You can't touch something that's not real and not literal and not absolute. In other words, Thomas didn't run his hand through and not touch something. He touched the literal body of Jesus Christ. He touched the glorified body of Jesus Christ. Now, if you and I, you know, if we could peek into paradise, if you and I had a means of transportation that could transport us in lightning fast speed and we could see into heaven, what would Jesus be like this morning? Well, I can tell you this. The Bible says that he's seated on a throne. You would see Jesus in a literal glorified body. And that's exactly what these angels said. He said, you know, you men of Galilee, this same Jesus. Well, you know, the Bible says that, you know, it's going to be this Jesus. What's it going to do the next time? Well, listen carefully to what the Bible says in the Gospel of Luke. The Bible says the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. The next time Jesus steps to earth, here's what's going to happen. He's going to step on the Mount of Olives. He is then going to walk into Jerusalem on the Easter Gate, and he is going to run and rule the world for 1,000 years, the Bible says in the book of Revelation, because he's never got to run his own world. Think about it a minute. Use your mind for a moment. Has Jesus ever had a throne? He came to the earth the first time. The Bible says he came to his own and his own received him not. There have been wicked tyrants that have had thrones. There have been rulers that have been good rulers that have had thrones. But have you ever stopped to think Jesus Christ has never got to rule his world? That's going to stop. That's going to happen. It's going to happen when Jesus Christ comes the second time to this earth. He is going to rule, the Bible says in Revelation, he is going to rule and he's going to reign for 1,000 years. Now, why is that so important? Because we have a Jesus who is a conqueror. We have a Jesus, the Bible says the second time in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28, Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. You see, first of all, the Bible makes it very clear that this same Jesus is coming back. This same Jesus that was resurrected, that you and I have studied about for 2,000 years, who was on this earth 2,000 years, and the Bible has recorded, this same Jesus, you're going to have the privilege to see and worship and know what Jesus actually looks like. I don't know about you, but I love that thought. Amen? I'm going to have an opportunity to see what Jesus actually looks like. Now you say, well, there's a lot of pictures of Jesus. Yes, but I don't know. I don't believe Polaroid was around in that time, and I don't think Kodak was, and, you know, digital photography definitely wasn't around. I don't know what Jesus looks like. Now, I do know from some of the books of, you know, Heaven is for Real and some, they share what Jesus looked like, and they've taken a composite. And I do not doubt that, but I can tell you this. Jesus is not just in spirit. He's in a real body. And you know what that means? He knows what you go through. That's why he came to this earth the first time. He understands what you go through. He understands your hells and your hurts and your heartaches and your difficulties. And the Bible makes it very clear. You know, he is coming back the same way he went into heaven. Second of all, he'll descend the same way. Well, how did he ascend? I want you to follow along. Well, when Jesus was taken up, the Bible says that there was no evidence of any trickery. They just saw him go up. Law of gravity didn't work that day on him. Law of gravity didn't have any bearing, any effect. As a matter of fact, as I said, if I could see into paradise, we would see a real Jesus. Why is that so important? Because sometimes I think in our Christian faith, we think that, well, Jesus isn't going to be real. Yes, he is. He is in as real a body right now as I am in a body. He is in a real glorified body. And the Bible makes it very clear. He is coming back again. He's coming back to his world. That ought to do something in the heart and in the life of every born-again believer that's looking for Jesus Christ to come again. The Bible says he's coming the second time. There ought to be a love for his appearing. You know, they looked up, and as they looked up, they noticed that a cloud received him. Wasn't a cumulus cloud. Wasn't any other type of stratosphere or anything like that. But in the Old Testament, there was a reference to the Shekinah glory cloud. And it was this Shekinah glory that received him unto himself. Received him, and the Bible says he ascended out of their sight, took him, and he was gone. Now listen to me very carefully. Sometimes the way we live and operate our lives, we don't think he's going to come back again. Now think about it for a minute. If you really believe Jesus Christ is coming back, you'll guard how you live and how you walk and how you talk and what your lips say and what your actions are. And the disciples made it very clear. Or the angels made it very clear to the disciples, said, you need to anticipate his coming. Now listen to me very carefully, friend. It's been 2,000 years. Don't you think the world stage is getting more and more and more set for the actual coming of Jesus Christ on this earth? Don't you think that it's not going to be long before he wraps this world drama up? Sometimes somebody will say, well, do you think it's going to get better? It's going to get a whole lot better. It's going to get a whole lot better because Jesus Christ is going to come. He's going to rule and reign in Jerusalem. The whole world is going to be ruled from Jerusalem. Jesus Christ himself is going to sit down on the throne of his father David, Luke says in chapter 1, verse 32. And the entire world is going to know what it ought to have been like from the very beginning because Jesus Christ is on the throne then. Jesus Christ is on the throne then. Jesus Christ is ruling his world then. Listen, it's not going to be havoc and violence. We're going to know that the Prince of Peace is ruling from Jerusalem in that day. And do you know what? The Bible says in the book of Revelation that we'll rule and reign with him. You know what that means? Hang on. Hang on a second. Do you know that you will get in that dimension what your degree of faithfulness has been for your whole earthly life? You say, what do you mean? Don't you remember Jesus said, I'm going to make some of you governors over 5 cities and governors over 10 cities, and some of you just get 1 city. You say, what does that mean? Because God's watching right now. Jesus is watching your life and my life right now. As a matter of fact, Revelation chapter 22, verse 12 says, my reward is with me. Jesus, what's your reward? My reward is with me to give to every man based on what he's done in his life. You see, there's some, and I'm just going to say saved or possibly saved, they don't really worry about their Christian life. If faithful, faithless, it don't really matter to them. They have this idea, I'm saved and I'm going to go to heaven and that's all there is to it. I'm sorry, that's not all there is to it. It's not proven by the book. And you see what Jesus said? He said, I'm going to come and I'm going to rule and reign. And by the way, you've been faithful, here's your 5 cities. You've been faithful, here's your 2 cities. You've not been faithful, you don't get a city. You see, the angels made it clear, Jesus made it clear, the Father made it clear. And you see, the Bible makes it very clear, and Jesus will return to reward everyone. You know, not only is this same Jesus coming, now, he's coming the same way he went up. You know, when you listen to verse 12 of Revelation 22, listen to it. See, I am coming soon. Now, I don't know about you, but when my dad gave me a responsibility as a boy, he said, you know, Benny, I've got to go make some hospital visits, but I'm going to be coming back soon. Now, here's the problem we face. Well, now, soon is a relative term, and I understand that because maybe he gave me a chore and I got to play one game of football and then do my chores. Maybe I got to play a couple of games. Then maybe his soon was, I got caught playing football when I was to be doing a chore. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? For those of you that I've heard the story and it's well worth sharing again. Back when I was a kid, Dad would be gone. He'd leave me instructions. He'd be in him of the brick pile. Many of you have heard about the brick pile because it's infamous in my mind. I can't ever forget that. Directive to move the brick pile. I didn't move the brick pile. I played football. Here's what I did. I walked in and that note was a yellow piece of paper. Dad gave me instructions. I decided I didn't want to listen to the instructions. I went and played football. Guess what happened while I was playing football? Who would drive up and how dare he come back so early? He went inside, and I knew I was caught. There was no sense. The brick pile was still there. And he just came to the door, and he said, Benny, come in here a minute. Man, my knees got weebly and wobbly and all that. I went inside and he said, "You didn't do as I asked, did you?" And I said, "No, sir." And that's all I can remember. I don't know if I got whipped. I don't know if I didn't get whipped. I don't know if I was unconscious. That's all I can remember. But here's what I know I did. I didn't listen to my father. And I was indicted by my father. He didn't do anything but gave me a directive. Listen to what the disciples were told. "Oh, disciples, don't lose heart. You men of Galilee, don't just stand here gazing, looking up into heaven. This same Jesus is coming back. He's coming back to reward. He's going to come back and he's going to reward." You say, well, what in the world have I done? You know what you've done. You really know what you've done with your life, don't you? You say, now don't go there. Isn't it interesting? We don't want accountability, but it is coming. You know, he's coming back in glory. He's coming back in power. And he's going to come back the same way he went up. He's going to come back, and the Bible says every eye shall see him. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the reasons for the invention of technology I've discovered is so every eye can see Jesus. Think about it for a moment. How are you going to see Jesus? You only have so much sight. Well, for the purpose of this message, and you know, many of you have an iPhone or you have a phone that you can see, and you think, man, technology. Do you know who's behind the complete invention of technology? Who gives man the mind? Holy God. Why? Because the Bible says, every eye shall, say that next word with me, see. Friend, the world is going to see Jesus Christ come back again with royalty, with power, and with a reality. This world is not going to defeat the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not going to defeat His Christians. He's coming back and He's going to rule His world as He said He would. That's the promise of God. That's the promise of Scripture. He's coming back, and friend, it's going to be lightning fast. It's even beyond lightning fast. He says, "I come quickly." And you can't even really define that word quickly in a framework. Why? Because that's His promise. You see, sometimes we Christians, we sort of feel like, well, the world's beating us up, isn't it? The world has battered us. The world crucified Jesus. And just feel so sorry for Christians. They're just, you know, they need a crutch to go through life. No. The world is going to find out that our King is the King of kings of all the universe. And He's going to come, He's going to sit down. And the Bible says, all those that have pierced Him. You know, one passage of Scripture said, many will scream for rocks to cry on them. You know why? Because their future is not very bright. Friend, Jesus is coming again. There's a song that says, He's coming again. It's written in His Word. He's coming again, just like He said. You know, Jesus said, I'm coming again. The Bible says in Mark chapter 14, verse 62, listen to this real carefully. You will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven. You know, one of the realities of you and me as Christians, you know what we do? You look beyond the commotion of this world. Man, it's a world of commotion and chaos and ugliness and wickedness. Amen? But the King is coming. The King is coming. You heard the song? The King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now His face I see. The King is coming. The King is coming. Praise God. He's coming for me. Friend, we're not a people of despair. We're not a people who's hopeless. We're not a people who lose hope. Jesus is going to come, and he's going to come and rule on this earth. He's going to rule for 1,000 years. His word says that. Now you say, Pastor, is that figurative or literal? There's no other way you can logically take it in reading the word of God other than literal. That's exactly what he says. Why? Because one thing Jesus has never got to do on this earth. Many rulers have, but not Jesus. Jesus has never got to rule his earth. He's coming and he's going to rule. He's going to rule and he's going to reign. But here's the sad part about it. If you're not ready, you're going to be in horrible shape. You're going to be appointed unto destruction if you reject him. That's why Jesus gave the disciples the directive, the command. You go into all the world. You go. You go into all the world. Why? Because every living being is an eternal soul. They live forever someplace. Those who accept Jesus Christ are saved. Those who reject Jesus Christ, according to Jesus' very own words, are damned. I don't know about you. I don't know what your relationship with Jesus Christ is. I don't know if you've allowed him to be the Savior of your soul. But friend, I'm so glad to say, not because I'm a preacher, not because I'm a pastor, but because as an 8-year-old boy back years ago, I invited Jesus Christ into my life. And if he comes right now and takes the church out of this world, I'm gone. Aren't you gone? Amen. We're not victims. We don't have a reason to lose heart. We need to anticipate the rapture and need to anticipate the coming of Jesus Christ to earth. What are we to do till then? What are we to do? How are we to live? How are we to walk? You're to work. You know, isn't it interesting in any good home where there's a good, loving mom and dad? Dad won't let you be lazy, will he? Mom won't let you be lazy. I get so upset with my mother back when I was just younger. She'd mess up my life and have me to do the dishes. You know, she'd have me to do the dishes and dry the dishes. How dare her? I was in front of the TV. And that's exactly what she knew. Get him out from under that TV. We need a lot of other young people out from under the TV and working. He says, work. I love that song. We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes. Then he'll carry us home. You witness. Now, you don't know how many people are going to be saved. I don't know that. One of the things that I pray and ask the Father for to draw lives unto himself. I don't know how many is going to be saved. But here's the reality. I'm to witness. You're to witness. You're to witness to your family, to your friends. You're to tell about the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're to walk in obedience. You know, wouldn't it be awesome? I've actually tried to imagine this the best I can in my little human mind. Preaching, and on a Sunday morning, maybe about 11:59, well, we're a little bit beyond that, but right before I get ready to pray the closing prayer and have the invitation, the rapture takes place. Wouldn't that be neat? Wouldn't that be awesome? But if you're not ready to go, you say, no, it's not, Pastor. Because here's the reality. He knows every heart. He knows every life in total. He knows who really is his. And he knows those who are not. And in every church all over the world, there are people sitting in the pew. And if the rapture took place, some would be left because they have fake salvation. It's not authentic. It's not genuine. And they'll be left behind. Friend, the promise of Jesus, the promise from his mouth, the promise from the Holy Spirit, the promise from the angels, the promise from the prophets, the promise from the New Testament writers, he is literally coming back to this earth again. He's going to stand on the Mount of Olives, and there's going to be an earthquake. One's going to move to one side east, one's going to move to the west. because this world shakes at the coming of Jesus. But I want to ask you this question. Are you ready to stand before Him? Scripture says it's appointed unto every one of us to die, and then the judgment. What will Jesus declare to you? Enter into everlasting life or depart from me. I never knew you. There is no middle ground. In 66 books of the Bible, there is no other place other than heaven or hell. There's no middle place. Unless you repent, Jesus said, you will likewise, it's a horrible word, perish. But here's the good news. You've heard the gospel. You've heard the truth. Today is the day of salvation. Now what that means is, if you died tomorrow and you ended up in torment, you can't blame Jesus Christ. You can't blame the Father. You can't blame the Holy Spirit. You can't blame me. You can't, because you chose to do what you would do. You chose to ignore and reject. And that will be upon your shoulders when you stand in the presence and see Jesus Christ and you hear Him say to you, depart. I never knew you. Father, we thank you so much that you are coming again. We thank you that, Lord, there's going to be a reward for faithful devotion, for faithful loving, for faithful serving, for faithful obedience. There's going to be a reward for every Christian in this sanctuary, because you promised. You know each of our lives. You know where we are mentally, spiritually, emotionally. You know, and there's no getting by that, for you're the sovereign God. Father, thank you that you remind us this same Jesus is coming back, the same one that stood on the earth 2,000 years ago is coming back again. It boggles our mind, but you don't taste death. You did once and it's over, and you live forevermore. Father, I pray this morning for that person who is here this morning that doesn't have a relationship with God through Christ. I pray, Holy Spirit, you would draw them unto yourself. I pray that they would come this morning and be saved, or maybe they are saved, and they simply say, I want to come as a candidate for baptism and church membership, joining their life to the life of the Lord Jesus Church in this place. Have your will, Holy Spirit. Have your way. Draw is my heart's prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.